And I'll start by talking about Bigfoot, Sasquatch. About 2 years ago, I mentioned to you that a team of my professionals took a look at this particular enigma called Bigfoot. And when trained remote viewers, and there are many trained remote viewers now, when trained remote viewers focus and work using stringent protocols, when they take a look at Bigfoot, inevitably a trained viewer will sketch a long rectilinear device seemingly out in space somewhere.
Device?
A device, yes.
Now, that doesn't sound like the hairy creature we've all come to know and imagine we love.
It's intimately connected and associated with this phenomenon that we call Bigfoot, which led me to believe that this device that we've seen before, in conjunction also with Chupacabra, El Chupacabra, this thing actually serves as some type of, we thought at the time, as some type of a projector assembler, taking carbon out of the, this was our theory, that it takes carbon somehow and reformats it into something that looks like this thing that we call Bigfoot. And the device itself is connected with entities in a place that is very, very distant.
Wait, entities, I've got to stop you there. Mm-hmm. When you say entities, do you mean as in extraterrestrial, or do you mean as in what we would consider spiritual?
We actually are, we do not know. We can't even sketch them. In the military, we call them the controllers, because they seem to run everything from galaxy to galaxy. We can't sketch them. The world that they live on, we would consider very hostile. It doesn't have an atmosphere. It's the terrain is broken. It almost looks like a moon. And yet, they own a technology beyond our ken.
Wow.
And they are connected, associated with this particular device that we thought projected things like the Chupacabra.
Associated with, as in probably constructed and built?
Yes, yes. It belongs to them, and they use this thing to project these enigma down here. And that's why...
You have talked in the past, Ed, on many subjects of projection. So this must happen quite a bit. I can think of three or four instances where you suggested some anomaly we looked at was actually a projection.
Indeed. And because things like the Bigfoot leave impressions in mud and snow, it actually has a density, it has mass, but I thought it was a construct. However, recently we began to look at some of the newer photos, relook some of the photos that are available, and I just had this funny feeling that those photos show more than just a mass of carbon. When I remote view it a second time, I see that it has emotions, that this thing is really living. Make a long story short, this projector out there is more than it isn't a projector. And it isn't really an assembler either.
Wait a minute, you said this projector out there isn't really a projector.
Right. It isn't a projector in the sense that I described it 2 years ago. With more research, it is like a teleportation device. But it does more than that. This Bigfoot phenomenon, it is a real creature. It is a real Gigantopithecus, or whatever you want to call whatever lived in North America a while back. It's real, and it really is a representative of that particular species, a 10-foot-tall sort of an ape man. So what I was interested in is, where is this thing picking this particular Gigantopithecus up and transporting it into real time temporarily, because it goes away. I mean, the tracks disappear, and you never get to see one of these things.
It actually has what I think most of the people listening to this program would call paranormal aspects to it. It either disappears, or it does something that, you know, earth-trudging creatures simply wouldn't do. So there's an aspect of what we would call the paranormal.
Agreed. And to use contemporary vernacular. But this thing, what I wanted to know next was, where is this teleportation device picking up this creature and transporting it from? And it turns out, nowhere, that the thing is canned, actually canned, as well as Chupacabra. The device itself somehow cans the essence of the creature and projects it. That's why it looks so lost when it's on the ground.
Okay, any idea at all, you know, assuming what you're suggesting is or have viewed is correct, of the motivation of the creation force behind this thing out there, this, I kind of think of an obelisk out there in cold, dark space doing these projections. That's, you know, kind of what you set up in my head for me.
Yes, that's the hypothesis behind Project Starman.
Any idea of the motivation?
Yes, yes.
Oh, rock on.
Yeah, the motivation is simply to be able to discern, to gain the insight, to develop a tool, a higher consciousness tool, to look behind this Wizard of Oz projection and see what is actually creating the enigma. And that is laying the groundwork. It's setting the groundwork for two things. One, it's forcing the development of a focused consciousness tool, in this case, remote viewing. It's forcing the development of a higher consciousness tool to see behind the enigma, behind this conundrum, this facade. And that, in turn, is setting the stage for contact with a higher intelligence, a la...
Starman.
A la Starman, yes. Because what we found now is that we're able, instead of building a device like in the movie and those kind of things, the protocols that are demanded are simply to go to a place that's designated as a contact area, which we did. We discerned this, we described it, we know where this place is, and we're testing that hypothesis in June.
In June.
Mm-hmm. And we have a spot in North America, in the continental United States. And it's a very unique...
What is your expectation? What do you believe will occur in June?
I don't know. I just...
What are your hopes?
Are you
talking about contact in June?
I am talking about contact. My hope is intervention. I'm hoping that a higher intelligence will intervene on this planet because we're going down.